Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. It's the National Equine Forum, and my next guest is Abigail Turnbull. She's the director of Richmond Equestrian Centre, and sadly, last year they suffered with strangles. So she's going to be talking about our duty of care to the equine world and why we should be talking more openly about strangles and how she overcame it. Now, don't forget, it's Strangles Awareness Week from the 4th to the 10th of May. Abigail, how are you?
Hello, hi, good, thank you.
First of all, let's find out a little bit more about you. How long have you been running Richmond Equestrian Centre?
We only bought Richmond in summer 2018. So we were cattle farmers originally. We lived about 20 minutes from here and it was a family farm. Basically, we came out of the family farm and bought Richmond, moved in July 2018.
Oh my gosh, so you made the jump from cows to horses. That's pretty brave.
Yeah, cattle and arable.
Did you have much experience with horses?
No, my husband's been a farmer. Farming's been in his blood for years, so he knew we were kind of looking at. It was a bit run down when we got Richmond, and it needed a bit of TLC and the grassland and the barns and the yard and things like that. So we, big project. But
I think the positives, though, that I can see from that is that you've got heaps of business experience because you've been running a business. And the one thing when I think about strangles and infectious diseases is I should imagine your husband has had to deal with all those with the cattle because there's tuberculosis and they need lots of vaccinations and things. So did you know much about the infectious diseases when you took on the yard?
We knew a little bit about strangles. Everybody kind of said, you don't want it. I don't think we realised how common it was because obviously it isn't a notifiable disease. So a lot of people don't admit to having it. I think it has a stigma very much of being a dirty disease that you might find on a dirty yard or something. So we knew a little bit about it. And it's, you know, when we came in here, we did a lot of renovation. There was about 55, 60 livery clients here, and I think we went down to 5. And we renovated all the buildings and then slowly built it back up. It was probably a 2-star yard, and we probably reopened as a 4 or 5-star yard. So we thought we'd never get strangled because we were, you know, doing everything as we thought as it should be and tidying everything up.
And clean. I think that's the scary thing is that we initially think, oh, well, we're clean. And if you get strangles, then you must be dirty, like you said. But actually, that's not the case. It's not.
Absolutely.
You know, you can be doing everything that you're doing. And I'm taking you had great biosecurity.
Good, really good biosecurity. It was just, even now when I think about it now, how we got it, I don't know, but it just proves how contagious it is. And I think the fact that we admitted to having it and everybody was shocked, or a lot of people were shocked. Yeah.
How did that make you feel, seeing the negative reaction?
Disappointed, actually, because obviously we're not, my daughter's been riding probably all her life. So we had horses at home, but we certainly weren't enthusiastic equestrians with a lot of knowledge. But it was very disappointing. Some people, I was very shocked by some people's reaction. People that I thought were, who I probably looked up to as professionals and kind of said we were stupid and amateurs for disclosing that we had strangles. And One person commented that if we got it again, at least we'd know how to deal with it. As if to say, you know, you won't say anything next time, which is completely in our style anyway. So, yeah, it was just a bit disappointing, really.
It should be a notifiable disease, yeah. and you are a responsible yard owner for telling people and preventing the spread of it. So you speak to any of the education, hindsight's always such a wonderful thing, isn't
wonderful,
it? But
isn't
you speak
it?
To any expert now, and it's clear that you have to share with people and be open and honest. You know, you were being a responsible yard owner by letting people know, because at the end of the day, your job, I feel the yard owner's responsibilities are for the horses and the owners equally. And therefore, if there's things that you're doing that can help prevent issues like infectious diseases, then that's a responsible thing to do. And one of those is by letting everybody know to say, hey, do you know what? We're going to go on shutdown right now because we don't want to infect anyone else in the country. We certainly don't want to spread it. So I find it quite frustrating that people aren't more supportive of that.
I didn't realise how common it was, and people just cover it up. Because they think, oh, the horse gets it, it'll be fine in 2 to 3 weeks' time. Put it in a shed out the way and let it sort itself out. That's the message I got from a lot of people. But unless you go through the right channels with dealing with a horse that's got strangles, that horse can go... I mean, I didn't know any half as much as what I do now, but that horse can go on to be a carrier, and it's just a massive vicious circle.
Could you take us through that process, Abigail, then, of when you first found out that one of the horses had strangles?
Right. Well, what happened, it was August last year, and it was a Tuesday when we found out. The girl whose horse came down with strangles first was concerned over the weekend because the horse just didn't seem to be himself, a bit depressed looking. Sunday night, started with a temperature, and he was off his food. So the Monday morning, we rang the vets to come out. I think he had a little bit of a residue on his nose, but it certainly wasn't pouring like a lot of people say strangles is. So the vet came out on Monday, and we asked them to, I think they gave him a big dose of antibiotics. The horse in question, this horse, had been on box rest for about 23 weeks because it had a broken hoof. It hadn't been anywhere.
Wow.
So we just thought it just started to go back out to get maybe half an hour's grazing a day. And we thought it was maybe the change in being in the stable and going out for the fresh air for the first time. Mm. And it maybe got a cold. Anyway, they did the test for equine flu, wasn't it, and strangles. And I mean, bearing in mind, this was 2 weeks before, I think about 2.5 weeks before our horse trials. So we had record numbers. And then, anyway, the vets rang the next day and said, really sorry, but it's probably strangled.
You must have thought, how on earth did...
Well, we were sat in the office waiting for the results, saying, well, it can't be strangled, it can't be equine flu. And it just, none of the other horses were showing any signs or symptoms or anything. And when the vet said, and we just said, well, it can't be. And it was. So within 10 minutes, I think I'd put a message on Facebook. I'd rang our tenants that run the arenas here and said, look, we're on lockdown, that's it. And that was it. And then slowly we didn't know where the strangles had come from, but we just, we actually got straight onto the Red Wings Facebook, website page, because we knew they'd have it. I think we were Googling and we'd seen that Red Wings would have it, and followed kind of their steps about isolating horses that had been in contact with that horse, making them a red area. So we had like a red yard, an amber yard, and a green yard in effect. We started like that, and then I think there were 4 of the horses that eventually got it, and the rest thankfully were we managed. We obviously, I think because we followed really strict biosecurity, it was like a hospital ward. There was foot baths and all sorts everywhere, sprays and antibacterial wash and wipes, and we just kept everything isolated, really. And
that's quite incredible. Out of how many horses do you have? 40?
We had about 30 at the time, I think. Yeah.
So from 30 horses, only four to have then gone on to be infected since you found out.
Yeah.
Abigail, that's incredible. So clearly you did everything right, no matter what the negative people are saying.
Yeah. Some of the comments were just ridiculous, but we had phone calls from people that had strangles on their yard saying, you know, this is going to be a nightmare, Abby. It will spread through the whole yard. You'll be shut for 4 to 7 months. And we just thought, no, we're not. we were so honest. I mean, the livery clients we had were amazing. We spoke to all of them individually. We asked them to take the horse's temperatures morning, noon, and night. They were only allowed to see to their horse. They weren't allowed to go anywhere else in the yard. We were really strict, but the girls were amazing, and I think that really helped keep it.
And do you think maybe that leadership that came from you made everybody feel a little bit more secure? Because you do tend to go into panic at these times, and by having someone to normally everybody wants someone to blame.
I think you go through the cycle. There was like anger, blame, people were upset, but it was just trying to keep the morale, trying to keep people informed of what was happening. We had three different vets coming and going. Our local vets who we use didn't have the guttural pouch machine to do the guttural pouches, so we had to use another vet's. And then some girls didn't want to use this vet. You know, everybody, it's like having a doctor, they only want to see certain people. But the vets were great, and we just kept everything. We had a WhatsApp group going, and I had charts in the house of the horses' temperatures, and as soon as we saw one slightly increase, we would take that out of, say if it was in the green area, put it in the amber or the red. It was very frustrating. It was very difficult. It was very stressful. But you had to go through it. I think we just went about it probably in the best way, keeping everybody in the loop and being honest about it, really.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like the communication is what helped massively as well, mm-hmm. because when you've got communication, good communication with the livery owners, and you're asking them to be involved with making sure that the horses are okay by having your charts and things, it just means that you can protect your business and the horses and the yard so much more. Because mm-hmm. I feel when people shut down emotionally and they don't communicate with each other, that's when you find them going off and not necessarily checking their horses, and they're not taking it seriously, and that's how it spreads. So mm-hmm. you really did manage to keep control to a certain extent of something that's uncontrollable.
I didn't realize how highly contagious it was, so we read up. Red Wings were amazing. We were in touch with the British Horse Society as well, and funnily enough, they'd been out on the Monday and passed us as a DHS yard and facility centre. That was the day before we got the strangles. It was so ironic. We just kept in touch with everybody and communicated, and it was stressful, but we were just on it. And I think I was, as people were saying, it was going to take months and months and months to get over it. I think that just pushed me to think, if not, we're going to be over this in a few weeks.
And how long did it take? How long did it take from start to finish?
It was about 6.5 weeks.
Did you lose money in that time? Because
we financially, obviously, we lost our horse trials, which had record numbers. So that's our harvest. We have two horse trials a year, one in May, one in September. The May one wasn't brilliant. We didn't have a lot of entries. That was across the board for DE. This one, we started off with low entries, and we kind of put a plea out saying, look, you know, if we don't get good entries, it costs an awful lot of money to run the horse trials. We were thinking of pulling it at one point, but with putting a plea out, everybody entered, and the numbers were amazing. I had the most fantastic sponsors on board, and the fact that we had to pull that, that was a massive financial loss to us. Buying all the equipment for the to increase the biosecurity. I mean, we had some horses turned out, so we decided that we weren't going to let them touch nose-to-nose over the fences. So we had all the fences electrically fenced as well. We bought new horse water troughs, so the horses weren't sharing the water troughs in the fields next to each other. We lost an awful lot of money.
You've got to kind of have that money in the first place to be able to do all those things. The things that we don't even think about, you know. I wouldn't even think about going and getting more water troughs so that they don't share.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, somebody said to me, the best thing you can do is put all the horses in one field and let them all get it. And that
are you joking?
No. Because they said we wouldn't contain it and it would just pass and pass and pass. Just put them all together and get it out of the way and it would be done and dusted. And I just,
But this is again where we don't want to be listening to opinions. We want to be listening to experts. And
absolutely.
Red Wings have done a phenomenal job over the last few years of building awareness over strangles and how to deal with it. So with their Stamp Out Strangles campaign, where you know yard owners and horse owners can sign up to pledge to stamp out strangles, and basically you get if you sign up, it's totally free. It's brilliant. It's on their website. So put your name there, and you get emailed information of what to do if you spot strangles, what the signs are, how to look after your horses, how to prevent it. So it's a great educational tool. But without that expert advice, we could well have just put all the horses in together and then you'd end up losing some. I mean, that's not a responsible...
Absolutely not, no, not at all. I mean, we knew they'd been through it, so they have a fantastic animated video on their website, which talks through the strangles outbreak that they had and what they did. I mean, we didn't know about guttural pouch procedures or...
What is a guttural pouch procedure?
So when a horse gets strangled, so say the horse which started it first, that was the first one to come out with the strangles, had a blood, I think, was it blood test? The blood test proved that it's got it. Then it started with the temperature, the snotty nose, had antibiotics and kind of let it... run its course, I guess, but I think the antibiotics help. There's a lot of hooing and haring over, do you give horses antibiotics? Do you let them do you leave them to it? Do you just give them bute? Do you not give them bute? What antibiotics do you give them? I don't think there's a right and wrong way, really. It's just that specific horse, what that horse reacts to. But once this particular horse, for instance, had finished with all the symptoms, temperature had gone down, finished antibiotics, no snotty nose, the only way that you can be sure that that horse isn't carrying the strangles infection is to do what's called a guttural pouch procedure, where the horse is sedated and a camera is put up the horse's nose into something called their guttural pouch, which is like a below the rear, isn't it? And it holds, it's just like an empty pouch, but in there will fit chondroids, which hold the strangled infection. And even though the horse could appear to be looking fine and well, and it's completely finished and it's had strangles, and if these chondroids, if it's become what's called a strangled carrier, with these chondroids sat there, this horse will intermittently secrete. When it puts its head down to drink water, if it gets stressed, secrete the fluid from these chondroids, and bang, you start again with strangles. Mm. So the only way to make sure that your horse is completely free of strangles isn't just to see that it's stopped with a snotty nose and a temperature, it's to make sure it's not carrying the infection in its guttural pouch.
Thank you for that. I never understood any of it. So, it helps to be able to visualize where the pouches are and what you're looking out for. I heard that the pouch that you're talking about behind the on the neck behind the ear, it can look, when it's swollen with strangles, it can look quite similar to grass sickness. And did you hear, I don't know, you'll be able to help us, that sometimes strangles gets missed because it's, you know, thought of as grass sickness, and that.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I mean, we had a few people saying it was this, that, and the other, but I think the high temperature, the snotty nose, which eventually did come, and the fact that other horses pick it up. I mean, that we don't know where it's come from, but the four horses, it definitely didn't come from the horse that started with it first. Whether it's being brought in on humans, you know, the vet said it could be brought in from a dentist, a vet, a farrier, another horse, that horse being away somewhere, it's a minefield. But I think it's quite clear that it's strangled when it starts with the snotty nose and everything like that. Yeah.
It's interesting, actually, because I'm always petrified of strangles because I live really close to the New Forest. And in the New Forest, it's quite prevalent for strangles. Yeah. So I hear. And one of the things that we get told a lot is don't let the horses drink out of the water in the New Forest because it spreads through water, but it also spreads on clothing. And doesn't it last up to 15 minutes on clothing?
I think it'll last probably longer than that. I know it can last for up to 8 weeks in water.
Wow.
In the paddocks as well. So we had a couple of horses that had strangles that we turned out. They were isolated and isolated paddocks. But those paddocks we felt as contaminated and we didn't let anybody else in for 6 weeks after just to make sure. We were so, I think we were so petrified of it ever happening again.
But the sad thing is, Abby, it could happen again.
It could,
and if it does happen again, it's not your fault.
No, and I'll do exactly the same as I've done this time and make people aware. And, you know, we could stamp it out better if people... it's just shocking because some people that have said to me, oh, well, my horse had strangles, but it recovered after 3 weeks. And I said, oh, well, what did the guttural pouch procedure come back with? And they were like, well, what's the guttural pouch procedure? So there's every chance that horse that had it has become a carrier. But I think it's an expensive procedure if you're not insured, but horses are expensive and it's horse welfare, I think, at the end of the day.
Absolutely. How did you manage, and duty of care, you know, as an owner?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's up to us, really, to try and stop spreading these diseases.
Yeah.
And if we can get rid of them, that would be even better. But we're only going to get rid of them if we talk about them, if we learn about them, if we know how to prevent them, if we know what to do with them.
Absolutely. It's educating people. I've been educated in it, and it's letting other people know. And I think it's so easy that any horse owner has to be aware of it.
How did you deal with the owners who all have their own opinions of what they want and what they think's best for their horse in terms of the procedure and the stages of, you know, I guess you can put your, as a yard owner, for example, you can easily split your yard and say, right, green zone, red zone, orange zone, and that's the rules. But in terms of their veterinary choices and how far they're prepared to go with helping their horse, for example, you can't force everybody to have a guttural pouch test, or can you?
Well, we definitely said that any of the horses that have had strangles would have to have a guttural pouch procedure.
And how was that? How was that received?
Actually, absolutely fine. I think all our girls wanted to make sure their horses were 100% fit and healthy after they'd been poolie. So, I mean, one horse had it for several weeks from start to finish, and he just couldn't shake it. He had nine guttural pouch procedures.
Oh my god!
When they went in, they were administering the antibiotics onto the chondroid, coming out, leaving it a few days, thinking that would do it. Going back in, and it was still there. So, yeah, bless him. I think he was maybe just a bit run down. I don't know. It just it's like human beings. Us getting an infection, it affects horses, different horses in different ways. Some had it probably 5 or 6 days, then seemed to recover, had the guttural pouch procedure and everything had gone. They do a swab when they do the guttural pouch procedure, which that gets sent off, and then we get the results, whether it's still positive or negative. And we went with every single one of the horses until they got a negative result. And we did stamp it out on the yard. You know, I can honestly say that I know fine well we haven't got it anymore, and it's not. Whereas some yards, I think if they haven't persevered with it and gone through the right channels, there's every chance they could have a carrier there.
Has it put you off doing anything, any more events like the horse trials?
No, not at all. I think it's what we tried to do. It was an awful situation. It was very stressful, and my husband and I just sat one night and thought we need to kind of turn this around and make it into a positive and try and let people know and not to be embarrassed if you've got strangles. And, you know, we lost out massively, but we like to think that we did it the right way. We got over it in a few weeks. And, we are even tighter on biosecurity now.
And how are you tighter on biosecurity? What things have you implemented since?
We're now on the PAWS scheme, which is the premium assured strangle scheme, and we're gold members. So now any horse coming onto the site must have a negative blood test for strangles. And then, yeah, annually we'll do the blood test as well. We've explained to the livery clients, we've said to all the clients, you have to take the strangle pledge. Mm-hmm. We're really pushing that any which way we can, and working quite closely with Red Wings. If we see anything on site, obviously we're a competition centre as well. We've set up fencing around our paddocks, because some horses, people would turn up and let their horse say hello to our horse, muzzle to muzzle contact. You know, so if we see anything like that, it's saying to people, look, please don't do that. It's that is one of the ways that it will pass very quickly, muzzle to muzzle, and also sharing water buckets and feed. It's just letting people know. Yep, anything, saddles, bits, bridles.
But you know what, Abby? If I was, where are you based?
Richmond, North Yorkshire.
North Yorshire. So if I was based in North Yorkshire, and I had two choices, I had a really proactive yard owner who genuinely cares about the welfare of the horses and the yard, that, you know, is asking me to have blood tests done. Because a lot of people complain when you ask as a yard owner, you know, can you have a blood test done? They're like, why are you making me spend money? Well, because it's for the safety of your horse and all the other horses and to your business. You know, it is your business as well. At the end of the day, if you're not, as an owner, providing a safe environment for horses and owners, then you're not meeting your duty. And if you're not meeting your duty as a yard owner, people aren't going to want to be there. So if I was in North Yorkshire, I would trust you that if anything was to happen, you would deal with it, and really effectively, rather than the yard that didn't really pay much attention. It's like, well, it's okay. You know, you've had strangles a couple of times, but we got rid of it. Let's just see what happens. I wouldn't want to be involved in that. However, the question is, many people can't afford that. So they can't afford to do blood tests every year. They can't afford to go through these procedures. And so it really is at what point is it does it become about the welfare of the horse? It's a really difficult medium to have, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. And I just think at the end of the day, horses, just like dogs and things, it's expensive. And you've got to bear these things in mind when you get a horse. Shoeing them, feeding them, stabling them, it's an expensive hobby.
Well, now I feel awful because I've never had my horse tested for strangles. I didn't think I needed to because he's never had strangles. Mm-hmm. So, but he's been in with so many, now I'm thinking about it after talking to you, he's been in with so many different horses over the years. Any of them could be a carrier. He could be a carrier and he just hasn't had strangles yet.
I mean, if you go onto the Red Wings website, there's a page on there about a lady that had a horse that had been a carrier for years. And he was fine. He was fine, but he was passing it left, right and centre. If you got him tested and it was negative, great. If he's positive, then you just need to deal with it. And you know, get a guttural pouch procedure or follow your vet's advice and get it eliminated.
And that's exactly right. That's the attitude to have. No matter how scared we are of what might happen, it's better that we're hitting it head on and dealing with
absolutely.
It rather than just ignoring it and hoping that, you know, miraculously it might not happen to me or it might not happen to my friend or to my horse down the road or to any of the liveries or so. Well, I'm going to go and get a test done. So thank you for that because you've motivated one person. Yeah. I'm hoping we can motivate a lot of our listeners to the vets are going to love us because they're going to be making a fortune.
Well, even, I mean, my daughter, I've had a couple of horses. My daughter's had a few horses. We've had a 5-stage vetting. But we've never had them blood tested for strangles when we've bought them. And, you know, they've come from all over the place. So.
Maybe that should become part of the 5-stage vetting now then.
I would think so, but yeah.
Well, Abby, thank you so much for being honest, for being brave enough to talk about it afterwards, during and afterwards and now, and for sharing your story at the National Equine Forum, because I really hope that we can make a change.
You will. That's what it's all about.
I feel awful because your lovely assistant's been with you the whole
time.
I'm
sorry.
Joanna, and poor Joanna hasn't had anything to say. I'm so sorry for not including you, Joanna. But were you part of this as well? Did you help deal with it all?
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, I was kind of staying out the way so I wasn't going to be sort of contaminating anything between the yards. It was almost keeping as least people as possible in contact with the horses as well. The farm is obviously how we dealt with it. But behind the scenes, you know, making signs to make sure that people weren't entering the wrong areas and things like that. Yeah, involved in that sense.
What happens if someone did go into the wrong area? They were ushered out pretty quickly.
They were pretty, We were really on it. And I must say, massive thanks to our livery clients because they were just absolutely fantastic. Each and every one of them, and we just all pull together, and I think that's what you've got to do when something like this happens.
Absolutely. How can we follow you on Facebook and Twitter? Twitter, Instagram. It's Richmond Equestrian.
We're Richmond Equestrian Centre, but at the minute we're down on Facebook as Richmond Horse Trials. We will be taking over the entirety of the Equestrian Centre next month.
Exciting! Congratulations.
Yeah, so we have. Thank you. We have some tenants in at the moment running our arenas. They're leaving at the end of this month. We have our livery yard. We have some properties here. We've got Facebook pages for everything. But as of the 1st of April, it'll all come under one umbrella. But if you go on now, it's Richmond Horse Trials on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And then that will change to Richmond Equestrian Centre. So,
and when are your horse trials?
First one's the 8th, 9th, 10th of May. That's a bank holiday Friday this year.
Is that over badminton weekend?
It is,
It's so frustrating, isn't it, that you don't get a choice as to when you get to hold the BE event?
It's always seems to have been that weekend. So fingers crossed, we've got the bank holiday this year because we've moved it round for the BE day anniversary. So that should help us.
And what star are your horse trials?
We just do B90, B100, novice and intermediate. Yeah.
And who designed your course for you?
We have Jamie Innes and Marie Nicholson, cross-country course building and designing.
Are they good? I don't know.
Very good. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, they've been in the game a while and really good. Gracie Barraclough is our sure jump course designer. She's fantastic. We've got a really good team. I mean, we've only been doing it, what will this be, our third or fourth one? Should have been the fourth one, yeah. And we love it. There's such a fantastic atmosphere, fantastic team of people. We've got the most amazing volunteers that come forward. Hopefully we'll have the weather. I'm looking out the window now and it's absolutely blowing a gale with snow. But yeah, hopefully a few more weeks. The ground in fantastic, in a fantastic state. Obviously it hasn't had a horse on it for nearly a year. So.
There is a silver lining, isn't there?
Yeah.
Well, I wish you both the very best, and I just think it's incredible that you've gone from looking after cows to running one of the best centres in the country. It's amazing. Congratulations on your accreditation as well.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to see all your photos from your horse trials this year. Hopefully it'll be a huge turnout for you.
Yeah, fingers crossed, yeah.
Thanks so much. See you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. You can download more speakers from the National Equine Forum if you head to their website, nationalequineforum.com, or of course on our podcasting platforms, Acast, Stitcher, Player FM, iTunes, all the usual places. Now, the guests that you can hear are Rolly Owers, Chief Executive of World Horse Welfare. He's talking about the social science and how it can help us. I speak to Dr. Barry Johnson, who's an independent chair at the Horse Welfare Board, and he talks about British Racing's living example of the social licence. I also speak to Zach Banham-Hurd from the Behavioural Insights team, and we talk about how you can apply behavioural insights into the equestrian industry. Then you'll hear from David Rendell, who's on the council of the British Equine Veterinary Association, and he's talking about worm resistance and why we should be taking control. Then finally, you can hear from Kirsty Withnell, who's an RSPCA inspector, and she works at the RSPCA Special Operations Unit. And she's talking about multi-agency collaboration in equine welfare cases. So lots of people to hear from. Anybody else that was at the forum, you can go back and watch again on the National Equine Forum's YouTube account. It'll also be all over their social media, and we'll be sharing those as well. So lots of people to see. Don't forget, you can watch the last few speakers live at nationalequineforum.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.